SF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Kaitse, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands. We thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and let's listen to some music today throughout today's entire show. It is Music Monday, and more importantly, it is Music Monday in celebration of Black History Month. We do this every year on the program, celebrating and sharing some of, well, I guess my favorite tracks from musicians who I really enjoy who happen to be Black. And I tried to put together a good smattering of different genre and sounds. And I think, you know, it's not bad. It's a lot of, I think it's like a lot of a mix of new music, mostly. It's mostly new music, and then it's also going to be like one or two like fun tracks that I have heard in the past couple of months as I have been trying to explore listening to many different types of music. And so, yeah, let's do that for today's show. Let's start off today's playlist with some stuff that's more mellow melodically, but lyrically quite reflexive. Yeah, maybe that's how I would describe it. Here is Mustafa off of his latest award-winning record, Dunya. This is Hope is a Knife. Enjoy.
Can't put out this fire. 1,000 times to show you why I've been needing you here. This is Bird Note. A flock of jays is emerging at the forest edge. Their heads are blue and white, with a long black crest curling forward. As they glide out from the trees, the whole bird becomes visible, white bellies and blue backs. Their spectacular tails are about as long as the rest of their bodies. They're called white-throated magpie jays, named for the long tail reminiscent of a magpie's. Found in much of Central America, white-throated magpie jay flocks are family groups led by a dominant female. They include a mate and several female offspring that bring food to the primary female and her young. It's an example of cooperative breeding, when birds other than the parents help out to raise young. Magpie jays have an astonishing vocal system. Male magpie jays are the big talkers. Each one may use more than 60 vocalizations. Nearly 50 species of jays are found around the world, each distinctive, each with its own complex society. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
We're back here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie, and you just heard Aquaculture with Holy off of his latest record, 1783. Put a pin in that. I want to talk more about that in just a little bit. But before that, you heard Tasha with Little Sparrow. Of course, you know, I gotta play some bird songs on any episode of Typically Tuesdays, but that track is just so lovely. I mean, Tasha's voice is so incredibly beautiful. I hope you enjoyed that one. Let's talk about 1783, which is the latest album by Aquaculture. If you have not heard of this record already, which I think is getting quite a bit of buzz, but if you haven't heard about it yet, I'm happy to share a little bit of what I know about this album, and then maybe you and I will be able to listen to it later on sometime in the week when we have time to really enjoy it, because this record is really like a concept album epic, in my opinion. 1783, the name of the record, is a reference to the year when Black Loyalists came to Canada from New York, and they had just fought in the war, the American War of Independence, and they were fighting on the side of the British, because the British had promised enslaved African people that if they were to win the war, they would be guaranteed freedom. The soldiers could essentially be resettled into any other parts of the British Empire that the British deemed was okay for Black folks to settle to. And so about 3,000 soldiers went up to Nova Scotia, and that is where Nova Scotian Black culture begins, Black Nova Scotian culture begins. and as well where the story of Aquaculture's album 1783 begins. This is an album all about Black Scotian history, and as I understand it, he put it together by like talking basically to every community member he could like develop a rapport with, and it is almost an hour long. I think it's like just under 55 minutes, and it's pretty amazing. I've only been able to listen to a little bit so far, but it is because it's like recounting like racism, right? Like, it's horrible and tragic and infuriating at some points. And then it is incredibly hopeful and full of joy and love in others. Aquaculture is one of my favorite CanCon musicians, just in general. But being able to listen to this album so far has been incredibly exciting. Aquaculture also, as I understand it, like he's literally putting in like literal years of work into learning more about and understanding his own Scotian roots. If I didn't already make it clear, like he is Scotian, he's Black Scotian, he's been doing a lot of really interesting stuff around passing down Black Nova Scotian history. I think he's got a community television program. I forgot what it's called, but he's got like a community television program that you can watch in Nova Scotia. It's on its second season, and in it he's just interviewing basically people in the community, and it's really freaking cool. Like the previews that I've seen of it, I don't think it's accessible in Vancouver, but from what I've seen, it's like very, very interesting. That's that on 1783 by Aquaculture, and I hope you get the chance to give it a listen, because it is like it tells stories of a really core part of Black history in Canada. There's actually even also, there's this free online course that I came across and had been taking for a bit from the University of Alberta. It's called Black Canadians, History, Presence, and Anti-Racist Futures. And I believe this course started last year or the year before. It is put together by Dr. W. Andy Wright and also Brendan Wint, who is a poet and artist. And it's very interesting. I think there are, if I recall correctly, there are like 4 or 5 modules, or maybe 6 modules. It's not a very long course. As I remember it, you can actually like finish taking it within a day. And each unit, after you take the introductory unit, which starts, you know, partly in 1783, it goes over like each region of the provinces in Canada. So that course is very interesting, by University of Alberta. Again, like if you want to learn more about Black Canadian history, I think it's a really great resource. Largely, I think also because, like, you know, in Canada, a lot of the times, we don't talk about Black history in the way that, like, Americans do. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because it's not as though... It's kind of interesting, I think, from my perspective, because Black culture is, like, so... it's so important in our arts and culture in Canada. Like, anyways, I can go on and on. But again, the course is called Black Canadians, History, Presence, and Anti-Racist Futures from the University of Alberta. It's free, and it is, like, you can take it online within basically a day, and you'll gain really cool knowledge, and... you'll have background to, like, enjoy 1783 by Aquaculture and to also, like, talk more with the community members about Black history in Canada. So, yeah, give that a try. We're going to listen to some more music now. We're going to listen now to Beverly Glenn Copeland's Let Us Dance, Movements 1 and 2, off of his latest record, Laughter in Summer. Laughter in Summer is actually created, produced, and performed in collaboration with his wife, Elizabeth. I got to see the two of them perform several weeks ago over at the UBC Chan Center, and it was amazing. Like, the two of them have such great energy, and they've obviously been, like, lifelong collaborators with just the way that they know each other so well, and... the way that they understand each other's artistic practice really well. But one of the things that really stood out to me was Glenn's voice. Elizabeth can hold her own and is a good singer, but Glenn, just the way that his voice, like, radiates throughout the room, so gentle and powerful at the same time. You know, he is an aging artist, and he disclosed last year that he actually has dementia. So I feel incredibly lucky to be able to have seen him perform live, and really to, like, experience his vocals right there. Something that they did was Glenn and Elizabeth made everybody in the audience do, like, a round, like, the singing, like, you know, like, choir, you know, when, like, you sing something and then the other person sings the same thing, but, like, a bar behind, basically. We got to do that, and it was so fun, so interactive. Yeah, I feel like that night is really a night that I'll, like, keep remembering for a very long time. And this is, you know, of the music that the two of them performed that night. This is Let Us Dance by Beverly Glenn Copeland. Enjoy.
Dance down the road,
down the road.
Let us dance down the road,
down the road.
Let us dance down the road,
down the road.
Let us dance down the road.
The wind blows over here.
dust dance down the road.